Hello and welcome to this episode 49 of Brashcast with me, Liam Pritchard, and as always, Ross Alexander.
Hello.
I found out quite recently that it is completely unacceptable to not like Wolfenstein The New Order.
Right,
okay. I've had a backlash, including a guy from CEX, who just, literally, when I told him I wasn't fussing it, it looked like I'd shit in his shoes.
Oh,
like,
right.
The whole attitude changed. Essentially, like, I think I mentioned it last week. Like,
Did you throw it at me and go, here, take this back?
Yeah, I shouldn't have called him a cunt as well. Just throw it in his face. Fuck you, you cunt. I don't want your game. It's like, what's up with this guy? I mentioned it last week that I got through the first hour.
Also, just as an aside, wouldn't be the most aggressive CEX customer I've ever seen.
No, I've
probably seen, not his worst that day.
No, you'd probably just kind of let it just roll off his shoulder, wouldn't it? He'd be like, oh, God, another one of those. But, they're used to lunatics
like
in there, aren't they?
Like stolen PS4s off a duck's back.
Oh, my goodness. You do get a lot of stolen goods in there, don't you?
Well, you get a lot trying to come in.
Oh, okay, fair play. Yeah, but you
I remember. I can talk about this shit now. It's awesome.
Oh, okay.
You
stopped me in my rant before.
I've been able to talk about it for years. But, basically, people are so stupid. Like, Monday was always really bad for suspected stolen stuff.
Yeah.
Because people would be out at the weekend stealing.
Stealing. What are you doing on the weekend? Well, I got a lot of stealing then.
Went out burgling.
Yeah, you going to work on Monday? No, I'm just going to CEX and make a fortune.
Yeah. So, like, because of the way the system works, they have to give us their name and we need, like, photo ID and stuff
before
they can trade. Well, you know almost better than anyone.
Yeah, totally.
But they're so stupid that they think that we won't find out or chase it up. Like, because they don't realise that every single item has, like, a tag on it.
Yeah.
Like, phones have an IMEI identifier.
Yeah, so if people have their stuff stolen, it's kind of tagged to that, you let people know, all of a sudden it's tagged to their accounts, and then they get busted.
Yeah. It's quite funny, because
I wonder how many idiots have been busted by the cops because of that.
Hundreds.
Ugh, morons. Yes. But that's why they steal stuff. Because they're morons.
They're stupid,
Yeah. Like, let's be honest, if you steal stuff, you're a dick. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm all for the Batman approach. You know, true poverty, I'm understanding that, you know, you might have to steal an apple under the most severe of circumstances, but nobody's ever been in such a situation.
I didn't realise that was the Batman approach. I thought the Batman approach is, if you see someone coming out with the TV, you break their arm.
Well, there is that, but you it wasn't Batman Begins, wasn't it?
Well, like, when he's stealing from his own company.
Yeah, but there is a bit earlier when he steals, an apple, which he kind of references.
I would have gone with the Aladdin principle. That would have been more
Aladdin. Yeah, Aladdin, that works too. But, okay.
I mentioned Aladdin, it made me sad.
I know, it is sad news, isn't it? Although, I'm surprised by, like, the outpour. Like, you know, it has been all over the internet, like how, I mean, I get it, because, you know, he played it, especially people kind of are, like, you know, late 20s, early 30s, stuff like that. Like, a lot of the films we grew up with.
To anyone who is listening to this podcast but somehow did not know, Robin Williams passed away last week. I think it's because, like, we are part of the internet generation, if you like.
Yeah.
You know, things like BuzzFeed and, like, as guys in kind of late 20s, early 30s, we grew up when Robin Williams was kind of at his peak.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And so these are the people that are giving out a lot of content online, so they're the ones who are going to be essentially the ones who have been touched by his work more than anyone else.
I was still a little surprised, though, because, I mean, yeah, it was sad and stuff like that, totally, but, I mean, the internet was awash with it, kind of thing. Just everybody's Facebook seemed to be related to Robin Williams dying.
Well, I mean, especially in the UK, it's hard to find a children's entertainer that wasn't a child molester.
Yeah, it is a shame, isn't it? And now, what is it? Who was recently?
Cliff Richard.
Cliff fucking Richard.
They shouldn't be searching his house for, you know, well, they should be searching his house for that as well, but they should be searching it for a new record and putting him in jail for that.
Well, in fairness to
apparently he's made over 100 records.
100 records.
All of them shit.
Supposedly,
I don't care how much you like Wired for Sound.
No,
Cliff Richard is shit.
He is shit, but he's got his strange niche, hasn't he? Which is a horrible niche, but it's clearly not made for us. But, you know, that's not the. I've never had a problem with Cliff Richard in that respect. Like, you know, I find his Canada's genuinely hilarious.
My issue the is last that he gets everywhere. Like Wimbledon. Oh, it's raining. Cliff Richard will sing. What?
Yeah, but he's singing to a bunch of toffs who probably love that bollocks. Mind you, the last calendar we saw of his, like, it was quite funny. Like, we had it 2 years ago. It was quite funny. You saw the pictures. Like, oh, it's ridiculous. But last year, you could see that he was kind of dead inside, like behind the eyes. Yeah. Like he knew, like, and he actually, funnily enough, I think he said he wasn't going to make any more after that. And you could see it all over his face. Like he was finished. His calendar days were done. But this whole, like, whatever you say about Cliff Richard, I just hope it's not true. Because anybody who was entertained in the 70s was fucking kids, apparently.
Yeah.
It just seemed to be the done thing. Yeah. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. We have really got off point here. I start with Wolfenstein, and now we're on to paedophilia. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you know, we have a quarter to hit.
We do, we've hit it early doors this week, so that's good. But to get back to my rant before I lose my focus here.
Yeah, because everyone can agree on paedophilia.
It's bad. It's frowned upon, sure, and we all hope that indeed he is not a paedophile. Because you know we've already had to deal with Rolf Harris. I mean, Jesus Christ! I'm back on paedophilia again. Here we go. All right, so I went into the store.
So Nazis.
Nazis. I went to the store and I traded it in, and the guy said to me, like in a very cheery demeanor, he was, "Oh, what did you think?" I was like, I was actually a little bit disappointed. The tone immediately changed. He's like, oh. He looked down at what I was getting. I was getting Watch Dogs, which, as you know, I was never excited about. But I was like, I feel like I should play it kind of thing. And plus, there's nothing else really out at the moment. And instead of, like, making this, you know, a kind of vague comment, he just looked down and went, I thought it was great. That shit. I was like, oh, cheers, mate. Thanks. I could put this back on the shelf. But it's not just that. I actually wrote an article saying that I thought Wolfenstein was one of the most overrated games of recent times.
Overrated?
Yes, think so. Okay. Basically, I just don't think it's as good as people say. I thought it was fine. I'm not the only person who said it. Like Eurogamer gave it basically the same review I would have given it, like about a 6. But I just got attacked immediately. And one of the, I'm not sure, like on N4G, there's like certain people who can kind of report your work and you can't even fix it. They just say, it's a report and that's it.
Yeah.
And the response was, it's lame. And they called it clicky flame bait. I was like, fuck off. Like, he obviously hadn't even read the article. Like, yeah. I justified my argument in the article. And I've even said on numerous occasions, like, I understand this isn't going to be everyone's opinion, and I can understand a lot of people disagree.
Yeah.
But I think there are a lot of problems with that game. I mean, the thing is, it's like, it's got two very disparate tones.
And I'm still planning on playing it.
No, you should, because you might enjoy it, but it has two very disparate tones which are never reconciled. Like, there's the very serious story, which is pretty good, a bit heavy-handed, but it's good. But it kind of completely...
It's still Nazism and genocide, but it's got time travel and, like, Tesla guns.
Yeah. Well, it's an alternative history. Like, you know, Germany won the war.
A bit like Command and Conquer.
Yeah. Like, but, they try and make it a serious story, which, you know, it's got noble intentions. But it never reconciles with the gameplay.
Yeah, but they've got, like, bionic dogs.
Yeah, bionic dogs, and, you know, you're just mowing down Nazis with, like, dual-wielding weapons. They feel like they're from two different games completely, and for me, like, that didn't really work. I thought there were numerous examples of poor game design, and one of my least favourite things is this really artificial sense of artificial difficulty spikes.
Right.
Like, you know, like I like difficult, like, you know, I wrote this into my article because I thought people were going to attack me because it's my fault for being shit.
Yeah.
I like difficult games. A game like Dark Souls, which is more difficult than this, is completely acceptable because it has an organic learning curve. Yeah. No, like, that learning curve is really high, but it's organic and you never feel like you're being cheated. Whereas
once you click with it, that's where the appeal of the game lies.
Yeah, completely. Whereas this,
I'm still considering lining up for a third attempt at that game.
It might be worth it, but I'll warn you about this game is that I was playing on hard difficulty, and I've been told it was difficult.
I do like the faces that you get for the difficulty.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, like the old school one.
Don't hurt me, and it's like a big burly soldier, but with a baby's bonnet and a
dummy. I thought that was pretty, and I like these touches. As I say, it's not a terrible game. I think it's a 6 out of 10.
I mean, it's hard to tell because I haven't played it.
Yeah.
I think a lot, like the criticisms with the, and I hate to reel out the phrase, but ludonarrative dissonance, which is the most wanky phrase in video games.
It is pretty wanky. I don't even know what it means.
Ludo's story, narrative, the it's basically the same word. Oh, no, so Ludo is play, narrative, story, and then dissonance is when they don't match up.
I've never heard that phrase before.
It's a totally wanky video game phrase.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite funny.
Not the biggest fan of that.
No. But it's quite a common kind of concept for people to criticise. And it could be that they're really doing it in an annoying way. And if they are aware of how silly the game is.
Well, no, that's the thing. They are aware. But it does. But then they're playing it so serious with the story.
Is this us kind of going back to the Sharknado thing from last
No,
week?
No, because that's not... like this. If this game was intentionally being silly, that would be okay. But it's like the story is very serious. Yeah. Like there are a lot of serious issues here, and they dealt with it in a relatively interesting way for the most part. Mm-hmm. But as I said, it feels like the story belongs to a completely different game. Mm-hmm. Like the gameplay is like big dumb shooter, or part of it is anyway. And then the story is this kind of often quite serious take on this potential, you know, future history or, you know, past history, whichever you want to deal with it, of the Nazis. So I just didn't really think that worked. But as I said, my biggest problem was this difficulty curve, which I put down to poor, you know, I don't say lazy game design, but poor game design, in that I was playing it on hard, and 90% of the game is quite easy still, especially if you go through on stealth. Because, again, one of those lazy things, you take the stealth option, and quite convenient, every time you go into a room, someone's got their back turned to you. In every single room. There's no one ever facing you. You never have to be sneaky. They've got their back turned to you. But you can go through so much of the game. Like, I cruised through a lot of it. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, they just throw what I refer to as bullet sponges at you. And a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And it's just not fun anymore. Because, you know, the other thing, and again, it makes some of these old school mechanics, which a lot of people are championing, a massive pain in the ass, like health pickups and bullet pickups. It's like if you get kind of cornered by these big hulking beasts and, you know, you get down to like 20 health, you haven't got a chance of getting out of there. You're essentially doomed.
Yeah.
So it was just little things like that. And as I said, there were like a few examples where I kind of fell through the floor. Like there was just like a pointless hole in the floor, which for quite an intense shooter, it doesn't need to be there because you're not looking at the floor, obviously. You're kind of running and gunning. And all of a sudden, he even says, like, as you're falling, stupid way to die kind of thing, as if he's talking to himself. Which is quite amusing if you want for the fact that you then get spawned back and you've got to do the whole section again. You know, you've killed all these bad guys and then suddenly the last thing you do is drop through the floor.
Yeah.
Like you say, it's little things like that, which it's still an enjoyable game. I quite enjoy the stealth aspects, the perks and stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a pretty average first-person shooter eventually. And, you know, it's just odd that... Well, I'm not surprised, actually, that it's not cool to say that because it seems to have latched onto the hardcore gaming community because of this kind of retro aesthetic kind of thing. You know, if that article had been about Call of Duty, think anyone would have batted an eyelid? I don't think so.
Well, no, but that's the flip side of the coin because it's become very cool to hate Call of Duty.
That's what I mean, though. Because it's not cool to, like, you know, I thought I made a very reasonable, wrote a very, very reasonable article. Like, you know, like, I didn't think it was flame baiting. I honestly think it's huge. Like, I think it's overrated. Mm-hmm. And I gave a pretty solid explanation as to why I thought that. And everyone just basically called me a dick.
Yeah, well.
But these things happen.
As much as it is a total cop-out, it's the internet.
It is, isn't it?
Like, there's always going to be someone who not only disagrees with you, but takes issue with what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's always going to be that. You could be the most reasonable, fair-minded person.
They're not having it.
No.
Well, actually, in one of my comments, I said, oh, I appreciate that some people will really like this game, but personally, I found it disappointing. That's word for word, verbatim, for what I wrote.
Yeah.
It had disagree ticks 6 times. How can you disagree with that? I'm saying I appreciate that some people like it. I found it disappointing. And all these people saying I disagree. I was like, how do you disagree with that comment?
It's empirically a good game.
Yeah.
By all standards. Yeah. It's...
Yeah, and I'm literally just saying, are you disagreeing with the concept that some people like this game and that I'm not supposed to?
These are the same people that give Call of Duty a 0 on Metacritic.
Oh, yeah, it's bullshit. It drives me insane. But yeah,
because they think their opinion matters so much that it is definitive.
Yeah. Well, that's honestly that guy in the store. The look he gave me. Do you know what it screamed of? Like he looked at me and just thought, "What a fucking noob!" Like I literally just picked up a video game controller.
Well, I think about that
like, about me. About you. It's like I'm sitting here talking, and you're like, what the fuck? I can't.
You say you've got all the consoles, but for all I know, you're still trying to figure out what plugs into what.
Yeah, I've got the consoles, but none of them.
I don't know if you've actually ever played a video game.
Well, none of them are plugged into the TV yet. That's the problem I have.
There's rest quite box know. On top of your TV.
Yeah, yeah, and it just kind of sits there. I was actually thinking about doing that recently. I was going to make a shelf above my TV in the middle room. You know, I've got all the consoles.
Uh-huh.
And I won't be able to plug them in all the time because I just haven't got any more plugs, but I want to get, like, three classic retro consoles going on top. I want to get the Mega Drive, the Super NES, and the NES.
Uh-huh.
And part of that is, well, you know, we're going to come around to that. It was the 25th anniversary of the Genesis yesterday. And we have to say the Genesis because it was the 25th anniversary of the actual American release where it was called the Mega Drive was called the Genesis. I think the European or the UK 25th anniversary will be towards the end of next year. I think it came out another year later. And it's just kind of hit a chord because I've literally...
When did it come out in Japan?
Was it came out the year before in Japan.
Right, okay.
So it would have been... Yeah, I think it was almost a year exactly.
Do you know what it was called in Japan?
It was the Mega Drive.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was only the Genesis in America.
Right.
I'm not actually sure what the reason is for that. I'm not sure if it was... maybe somebody already had the name over there or perhaps they just thought the Genesis sounded better for an American audience. But it sounds weird because the rest of Europe had it as the Mega Drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure, but it's just happened to coincide with the fact that I'm reading Console Wars at the moment, which I'm not going to lie, isn't the best book.
Right.
The writing, because I came right from directly from a very good book. I finished reading 11/22/63 by Stephen King, a huge book, but about the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Right.
And it's like a time-traveling book kind of thing. But it's, you know, whatever you say about Stephen King, he's a very good writer.
Uh-huh.
And to come to this, like, the concept is right up my alley. You know, it's about the console wars, you know, which I was involved in when I was a kid. You know, I was a Mega Drive kid and all. And this book, while it does obviously reference Nintendo a lot, and it does give an interesting history of the company, it is primarily about Sega at the time because it's a more interesting story.
It's also going to be easier to get information about Sega because they're kind of, they're almost a publishing arm now.
Oh, they are completely, they're not the same. They're nowhere near the company they've always been. And Nintendo are a bit of a, like, closed book. You can't imagine and Nintendo's going to be spilling the beans or anything.
Yeah,
but
I went to a lecture from a couple of guys who went over to visit Nintendo. They're working on archiving all of the British video games.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently a lot of the... it's a much bigger thing in Britain because we had the... Like, in the late 80s, early 90s, we had the kind of home market. Like, people making... Well, it's been going back longer than that, but people making their own video games.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what was it, Dizzy?
Yeah, yeah, the egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like that was kind of one of the more famous ones.
Yeah, I never liked Dizzy.
No.
That's so weird that you mentioned that. When I was reading the book, it wasn't referenced, but Dizzy popped into my head for some odd reason. And I just remember like a screenshot of it kind of thing. And I just remember thinking, and literally Dizzy popped into my head. And I was like, I never liked Dizzy. I never liked the way it looked. And I never I stopped thinking about it. I was literally sitting on the toilet. And it's just so odd that you mentioned that because it just literally, that was how long it popped into my head. It's like, oh, Dizzy was a thing. Dizzy was ugly. Back to the toilet. Sorry, I apologise.
Well, I take it you weren't playing Football Manager at this point.
Oh, I don't touch Football Manager. I never get off the toilet.
Oh, right.
It's a very dangerous game. I'm playing Bubble Witch 2 at the moment on the toilet. That's my current toilet game. Say what you will about King games. They're great for 2 minutes on the toilet. They're fantastic. And again, Bubble Witch, very simple premise. It's just like Bubble. But it works. It's well made and it's free. I don't have to pay for it. And each game is like... 2 minutes long, the length of a poo, and I'm up and on with my day again. Fantastic.
So, but I imagine, like, Nintendo, and they were saying that Nintendo, when you go to their office in Kyoto, like, it looks a little bit like a GameCube because it's a massive.
It's just a block, yeah.
With the Nintendo written across, like in one of the corners.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, it's like a really drab, like. You go into their lobby and there's nothing to give away.
Yeah, that
is a Nintendo building.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think, historically, like, a lot of Japanese companies are quite like that.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame, but, I mean, saying that, though, it's definitely, like, you know, Nintendo were a success by this point, and it is an interesting story, you know, how Sega, especially the differing attitudes between Sega of America and Sega of Japan, it's about how they were essentially two different companies.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's all to do with how they, you know, came from nothing with the Mega Drive, won this huge market share.
It was the Master System.
Yeah, but it was a bit of a non-event, the Master System, in terms of sales, anyway.
Don't, man. I only had a Master System.
Well, the Master System got fucking trounced by the NES. So, yeah. But, you know, the Mega Drive was the big comeback system, you know, against the odds. They kind of had this huge success. But then, of course, quite interestingly, it's like, how many terrible mistakes can one company make? Ask Sega. It's three. Quite a few. But yeah, as I said, like, conceptually, like, I'm really interested in the book. I can see why he wants to be turned into a film. But some of the prose is horrible. Like, it is, like, it's written horrendous. Because, you know, it takes a lot of liberties. It's written like a script.
Right.
You know, it goes into people's thought processes kind of thing. You know, obviously all fictional.
Yeah.
And some of it...
It's rampant speculation, basically.
It is rampant speculation, but that'd be fine if it was well written. But there are times when I've literally been walking down the street, and I, like, because I've got an audiobook, and I find myself cringing at some of the. I'm just like, oh, that's pretty.
Who's reading
shit.
It? Is it Will Wheaton or something?
No, he read. What was that? Ready Player One.
Oh yeah,
that was good. That was a well written book.
That's a good book.
That was well.
Let's
I enjoyed
the
that
as well.
Yeah, and that was a well written. Like, Bethan's not into, wasn't as big into video games, but she thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, that's because that guy's an author. This guy is probably
this guy. I get the impression this was his
spirited amateur.
Yes, that's very much the impression I got. Like, I might be wrong, but it reads like a spirited amateur's attempt.
Yeah.
So
I just imagine you. Going to the index, looking for Shenmue and flicking straight to that page. That's what I imagine.
I do love Shenmue. But no, I've always been a Sega kid. Like, you know, I had the NES, but then I went Mega Drive, Saturn, Dreamcast, and, well, there was nowhere else to go. I had a Game Gear. You know, I've actually, like, gone back and I've owned all the Nintendo consoles.
Uh-huh.
But I, you know, at the time, I chose Mega Drive over Super NES.
I was a Sega kid as well.
I chose a Saturn over a PlayStation. I chose a Dreamcast over everything. The Saturn I regretted. The Dreamcast I didn't. I love that console.
You just played Panzer Dragoon until you loved it, basically.
Well, yeah, that's what you had. In fairness, it had a lot of very good Japanese games, because the Sega Saturn...
Oh, you like Knights as well, Knights into Dreams.
Yeah, that was good. And I, you know, I've always loved the arcade games. So, like, when we first... The reason I got it was because my friend had it, and he had it with... sorry, this is supposed to be about the Mega Drive, but he got it with Sega Rally... Virtual Fighter 2 and World Series Baseball, and I loved all three of those. Yeah. And I remember a very little.
Virtual Fighter.
You hate Virtual Fighter?
It's if eyes could spontaneously bleed, like, it's not the mechanics, because I don't remember the mechanics.
Yeah.
But it's that time where, you know, you were moving from sprites up to pixels.
Yeah.
And some get like. Very early PlayStation 1 games and Saturn games
don't look good.
Just look awful. Like, Tekken didn't start looking good until Tekken 3.
Tekken 3 looks really good. In fairness, I think Virtua Fighter 2 holds up better than, say, Tekken 2.
Right.
But I see what, like, Tekken 3 was a kind of big step up. But the thing is, the Virtua Fighter game, in terms of mechanics, hasn't changed a great deal since the first one. And it's not as immediately likable as a Tekken. For one, the characters aren't quite as interesting, and two, it's a lot more hardcore. Like, Tekken, you can get a lot of flashy moves by smashing the buttons, whereas Virtua Fighter is a very technical, probably
a little bit like Dead or Alive without the boobs.
Oh, it's much more technical than Dead or Alive.
Really? Because I'd say Dead or Alive is really technical.
I would say it was a kind of middle ground, but in terms of a technical 3D fighter, Virtua Fighter is in a league of its own in comparison to, like, Dead or Alive, Tekken, and all those. Although I like Tekken as well, but yeah, it's worth reading the book because you know, if you're into that kind of thing, I assume if you are listening to this, that you might well be. And I'm going to keep at it because it is an interesting story, but just don't expect fantastic writing because it's not there. But, you know, like I said, to go back and listen to these things, it is interesting to hear about this, you know, great story about Sega kind of built themselves up. Although. I do know what happens next, and it isn't great. But 25 years, so you had a Mega Drive when you were younger?
No, Master System.
You didn't have a, so you skipped the Mega Drive and went to...
We just didn't, like, I remember my first console, we spoke about this back on episode 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had an Atari 2600 with the kind of fake wood panelling on the front of it.
Awesome.
That was my uncle's.
Mm-hmm.
And then that snapped off in the plug once. So the two metal prongs were fine, but the plastic one was stuck in the plug.
That sucks.
So yeah, and that thing was massive. The plug, it was almost as big as the console. Really? Well, not quite, but it was
I never huge. Had an Atari, so.
And then I got a Master System for, I'm guessing, a Christmas or something back in the early, very early 90s.
Any particular reason why it was a Master System rather than a NES?
No idea. I never really asked my parents.
Oh, they chose it for you.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't ask. I was still too young. Like, I think my mum, like, my mum is the reason I'm a nerd.
Yeah, for the
most part. And
so she actually went out, like, you weren't asking for a console.
She would have been the one that probably made the decision. Or either that, or my stepdad would have seen, like, an advert or something.
Oh yeah, it could have been something as simple as that.
But I remember getting it, and most people had Alex Kidd on theirs, but I was lucky. I had Sonic 1.
Built to mine. It was still pretty decent on the Master System.
Yes, yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
That's my picture of Sonic.
Yeah.
Is that version.
Well, that's the thing. My favourite Sonic is, I know, like, Sonic 2 is probably a better game, but my favourite one has always been the first one.
Yeah.
I just have that kind of, and again, maybe it's a nostalgic thing. I'm sure it is to a certain
probably
degree.
Is.
But I just love,
I, like, still go back and listen to the soundtrack from time to time.
Every so often I just bang on Sonic 1. And I was actually, today, there's a retro gaming store in Leith.
Uh-huh.
And I went there with the plan. I was just like, all this stuff's kind of built up. I'm like, if they've got a Mega Drive in there.
Oh, that's crap.
It is crap, that store. It was it's had the shutters down again, so I'm not sure if it's closed down.
No, that's just how it is. Middle of a Saturday afternoon.
You'll just close.
It could be closed.
Yeah. I thought that might be the
case. It's the fact that they've got, like, classic games but super glued to the roof and the walls and
stuff. It's a strange place, but the thing is, though, I can't quite decide, because I'm going to get a Mega Drive,
right?
If I get, because I, when I had a Mega Drive, I had the Mega Drive 2,
yeah,
like the kind of, and it is a tiny looking one, the red button, Jen, the flat kind of rectangular shape.
It looks almost like the bonnet of a car, like a,
yeah,
like,
yeah, I can see where you're coming from, and I do like the Mega Drive 2. However, when I think of the Mega Drive, I still think the original one's more iconic. The one with the kind of saucer on top where the disc driver is. Like, it's not as nice looking a console, but I do think it's more iconic, so
You say disc drive, you can't help it.
Disc drive?
Yeah.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
No, it's got like a disc kind of shape on top for the... Oh, did I say disc drive after that? Sorry, I do apologise. My bad. God, where's my head? But I think the cartridge port. I don't think I've ever heard that phrase before, cartridge port. But yeah, it's certainly better than CD drive, which doesn't exist.
Well, you can buy the expansion.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, do you turn it into a monstrosity, get the Mega CD underneath, and then the 32X on top, and create a monstrosity of a console?
Yeah.
But what would you go for? Would you get the Mega Drive 2, or would you get
Mega Drive 2.
You'd go for
in
that.
In my head, that is the Mega Drive.
See, I think that is the Mega Drive in my head, but then, when I think of it historically, I still kind of see the original Mega Drive, but
I can't even remember which of my friends actually owned a Mega Drive.
None of my friends had the original Mega Drive. Everyone I know had the Mega Drive 2, because I got it when it first came out. And some of my, like, you know, obviously I think of Sonic when I think of the Mega Drive, but my favourite memories are, like, it came, like, were all the arcade games.
Shinobi.
I had Shinobi, I love Shinobi, Altered Beast, Golden Axe, MotoGP. Columns.
I remember Afterburner. I played a lot of Afterburner.
Afterburner 2 is amazing.
And the Back to the Future 2 game was shit. I remember that.
Aladdin was so much better on the Mega Drive.
I'm talking Master System. So
it would have had a similar version to the Sega, to the Mac. Because the Super NES version looked nice, but it wasn't nearly as good. And what was the other one? Lion King was
Lion King was really good, but really hard. Fucking hard.
Fucking nails.
I finished, like, back as a kid, you know, if I got stuck on a bit, I would probably just get frustrated and stop. Like,
I
wasn't really much of, I was nowhere near the kind of gamer I am now.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was like, oh, I'm bored of this, I'll go outside. Which I never go outside now.
That's out of the question, yeah.
But I remember finishing The Lion King a long time before I finished Sonic 1.
Really?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, because that was a tricky-ass game. You had to keep restarting it.
Jumping across the backs of the wildebeest and stuff.
Yeah, right from the start, they just can't wait to be king.
But Scar level. Wasn't that tough at the end.
I never finished it.
Oh, right.
I never finished it. I never actually owned it. It was a friend of mine's, and I just borrowed it. But I just never finished it. It was just nails. But, you know, I the thing is, I loved the Mega Drive at the time, but it hasn't aged as well as the Super NES.
Yeah.
The Super NES has a true timeless quality. Like, even, like, Sonic still looks good, but Mario World looks amazing.
Bomberman still play, like, you could still get friends around and play Bomberman.
Oh, yeah, 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 totally. And that's the thing, you know, 16-bit consoles, both of them, to a certain degree, will always age pretty well because 16-bit graphics...
The sprite art.
Sprite art still looks fantastic.
Towards the end of the SNES, you were getting some of the best video game art that had ever, you know, arguably that has ever been.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's weird because some of the games which wowed back then don't look as good now. Like Donkey Kong Country, at the time, was a technical marvel.
I still think it looks good.
I think it looks okay, but I don't think that looks as nice as, say, Mario World, which was a launch title.
Yeah.
And then stuff like...
Well, I think Donkey Kong tried, I mean, the term photorealism didn't really apply to video games.
But that's what they were going for, wasn't it?
Yeah, like the backgrounds always looked great.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, when it came out, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But another game which came out late in the console's life, Yoshi's Island, that, like, with the kind of Crayola look to it,
yeah,
that looked absolutely amazing.
Do you see that someone looked through, like, old manuals or something and found Yoshi's full name?
Oh, yeah, like... What is it?
B or T Yoshisaur Munchikupas.
That is awesome. Is the T just like as in T-Rex?
Maybe.
Yeah, it must be, because he's a dinosaur. Otherwise, it's not like T as in short for Ted.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Theodore Yoshisaurus.
But it's Yoshisaurus. Oh, Yoshisaur.
Well, Tyrone would be.
Because it would be like T.
Like Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah.
But for some reason in my head. If you named your kid Tyrone, he was going to be an asshole.
Yeah, plus you don't shorten their first name. You know, if it was his middle name and there was a T in there, you'd be like, oh, that's quite interesting. Maybe it is Tyrone. Maybe it is Yoshi Shore Tyrone Munchikupas. But instead, you know, if it's T at the start, I'm assuming it's like a T-Rex. So I'm assuming the T is short for Tyrannosaurus.
Maybe.
So Tyrannosaurus Yoshisaur Munchikupas. Fucking hell. No wonder they just call him Yoshi. It's ridiculous.
It's weird to think that Miyamoto is not just a massive pothead.
I know.
Stuff that comes out.
Some of that Mario stuff is proper drug paraphernalia. Yeah. Like, at its finest. But
the fact that everyone's taking mushrooms and that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone loves drugs. But, fuck, we've been banging on it. It's 31 minutes in, we've hardly mentioned anything. Oh, other than the Mega Drive and my...
We kind of went a bit retro there, I guess.
We did. Well, to try and get things back on track, I suppose, we can skip the films this week because, you know, I'm planning on seeing Expendables 3. I watched Hot Fuzz, which I still love. I think it might be the best of the Cornetto trilogy, actually. But very quickly, if you haven't seen it, go out and watch Utopia. It's not a movie. It's a Channel 4 TV show, but it's fantastic. I've only seen the first series.
Yeah.
But it might be the most beautifully shot British TV show I've ever seen.
Play the game, too.
Utopia?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's a tie-in to the show.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. I know some people who have been working on it.
So. It's supposed to be any good?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well,
they were only doing QA for it.
Oh, okay.
They did say that they were enjoying it, but...
Well, yeah, give it a go. I mean,
as much as you can when you're repeatedly performing the same action.
Yeah, yeah, that's not going to be so fun. But the TV show, even though tone is completely different, it is like the way it's shot has a certain kind of Wes Anderson feel about it, like very kind of stark colours, and you get a lot of... very, like, it's got that kind of aspect ratio, widescreen aspect ratio, where you get the black bars at the top and a lot of very wide shots.
They're on to season 2 now, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, I think season 2 is actually finished. Like, I'm playing catch up, but as I said, amazingly shot and very interesting. It's quite a slow starter, but certainly worth.
I've been hearing a few of the guys around the office talking about The Strain. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I haven't, no.
Yeah, that's one that I'll need to check out.
Yeah. No, there's plenty of shows I need to see, but that was the most my friend in work had going on about it, and I finally watched it. Worth seeing.
Right,
and you have
cool.
to listen to him more often because he also told me to go and watch Game of Thrones. Speaking of that, very quickly, Game of Thrones, they were mentioning like the most popular baby names in the past year. And there was quite a few...
Khaleesi's?
Khaleesi's, there were like 11 Khaleesi's. Amazingly, what the fuck's his name? You know the guy who essentially gets turned into a gimp? You know, he gets his bits...
Theon.
Like 11 Theons. Who watches that show and thinks, I want to call my firstborn Theon after the guy who... He does just get turned into a medieval gimp.
Jeffrey Dahmer, maybe.
Oh, it's very strange. I'm very surprised by that. But anyway, what have you played this week?
Just continuing actually using the Wii.
Now. Okay, yeah, yeah, cool.
So Mario Kart, I'm now up to the 150cc.
Nice.
I've managed to get golds and all the other ones.
That is hard work, fair play.
Yeah, not all gold stars. Some of them, like, Some of them is just arbitrary. It's like, oh yeah, you won every race. You've led almost every lap.
You don't get all the stars.
You get any? What?
That's weird. That is very odd.
So yeah, going up to the 150cc one, it's starting to feel like a challenge.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like you'll get dicked a lot in that.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. Haven't been blue shelled yet.
That's amazing.
It's largely because I'm not spending that much time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, fair play, yeah.
Just before you came over, I actually managed to win one of the cups where, pardon me, it was on, I don't know if you remember, Wario's is Mine.
Oh, is that the one from the GameCube? Oh, no, it's Wario Stadium, sorry.
That's Waluigi's Stadium.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry, my bad.
Yeah, no, it's... basically, there's minecarts and stuff going about.
Oh, no, yeah, I know the one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was literally, I was in like...
That's a good state.
I was yeah, it's good. I was in eighth, and I managed to win it literally by getting like the invincible power-up.
Oh, yeah, and then, well, the star.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like the new one where you just hammer the shoulder, you hammer the fire button. And
oh, like the golden mushroom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's weird. I've never seen that in anything
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, it's in the new one as well.
And then that kind of boosts you forward, and I managed to win by... not a tenth of a second, but 10 hundredths of a second.
See, I'm pretty sure the new one doesn't have times, which I find quite annoying. So it doesn't tell you what time you got going over the line, it just tells you your position.
Oh, right. Oh, this one does,
obviously. Yeah, very strange, very strange. But yeah. I mean, it's, you know, Mario Karts are always great. Like, you could go, like, you know, the reason you bought this, you could go out and buy the N64 version, and it'd still be great fun.
Yeah.
Except for the Super NES version, which everyone goes on about, but...
yeah, it's actually not that great.
No, it's not.
Really,
it's
lots of brown, it's quite hard to see what's going on.
Yeah, I don't like the flat graphics, the tracks are so-so.
The frame rate, it could have been the issue with the TV, because it was on an HD TV.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's quite hard to follow as well.
No, I was never a massive fan of it, even back, like, in the Super NES days, when it first came out. It wasn't until the N64 version that I got into Mario Kart.
But it's all about Crash Team Racing, I've told you.
Oh, get the fuck. anything else?
Lots of APB.
Obviously, being your job and all.
No, I've been kind of avoiding doing anything on the Xbox because there's a few games I kind of want to play, but I know that if I fall back down that rabbit hole, I'll never get my coursework done.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's it. I'm enjoying a few games now because I've got to start my revision next month, and that's going to put an end to a lot of the fun I used to have. But yeah, I mean, I mentioned I played Watch Dogs. I got to stage 13 of 18, and it's very rare. Like, that gives you an idea of how infuriating. Like, I got to stage 13, and I was just like, I'm not enjoying this anymore. So I just called
it back in.
Yeah, I just wasn't enjoying it. I was just like, I don't have enough spare time to be playing a game I'm not particularly enjoying, and I did enjoy it for like quite a few stages, but it got to a certain point where they just start throwing these enemies at you, and I'm just like, it's just annoying me now. So put an end to that, got rid of it. Started playing JoJo's Bizarre Adventure again, which is amazing. The new one, it's only on PS3.
It's an anime one, right?
Yeah, it's based on a famous anime. There was actually, and I've got the Capcom version as well, which was released on the Dreamcast, and a special edition was released on Xbox Live Arcade,
right,
which is quite good. But that's a very hardcore kind of fighter.
Yeah.
Whereas this one is made by Namco Bandai, so it's closer to your kind of Naruto's and stuff.
Oh, right, okay.
It's kind of got that 2D aesthetic, but you can step in and out. So it's kind of like
Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, it's kind of, but you can actually skip in and out of the screen. It's a really odd one. It's almost 3D, but it still plays like a 2D fighter. But it's a lot easier. Like, the special moves are easy to pull off. And it's not a technical fighter, it's much more about being flashy and just kind of celebrating how crazy the show is. And, like, I'm not even a fan of the show, but I love it. Like, the special moves are absolutely amazing. It's not the kind of game you'll play forever, but it's so incredibly Japanese. And if you have any interest in the show, you should definitely go out and buy it, because it is one of the more aesthetically pleasing fighters I think I've ever played. Right. It looks so cool.
That's good.
So try that out. Runner 2 I got back into briefly, but I can't play it for too long because I get annoyed myself whenever I trip over like a ledge or something. And obviously, I started Watch Dogs. It looks nice. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look amazing, but it looks good.
Not as good as they said it was going to look.
No, it doesn't look as good as they said it was going to look, but it looks plenty nice. It kind of has its highs and lows, as open world games do. A lot of the indoor kind of environments are actually really nice, and some of the lighting's amazing. And it's one of those odd games that it looks a lot better at night than it does at day.
Right.
Like, because the lighting, and like, you know, when you walk past stores, the way it kind of shimmers, like, especially if it's been raining, because the weather system's quite cool as well. But First impressions of that, I'm not sure if I'll commit 30 hours to it, yeah. But I'm quite enjoying it. The vehicles handle quite nicely, which is always a bonus for games like this.
I'd hate that they didn't.
I thought they handled they pretty good. They feel quite heavy, which I like. I hate like kind of loose ones where they just kind of fly about.
Right.
But I thought they seem acceptable to me.
Okay.
And the world does actually feel quite alive. And that idea, like, it's very simple, the kind of main concept, you know, this hacking bit. It is just one button. But it obviously a lot of effort's gone into the fact that you can just kind of, you know, flash over any character, walk around the world, and they give you their details and you can hack them and stuff. I'd say it's a simple system, but I think it needed to be. But that idea is, like, when you're driving along, you can look behind you and hack the lights behind you, or hack the, like, it, because I kept seeing it. I was like, I wonder how that works. But because it is so simple, it does work, so it's more to do with timing.
Has anyone invaded you yet?
No, I've literally played, like, 2 hours, maybe. So I'm still very much in the kind of tutorial stages where I'm kind of getting to grips with it.
I put the app on my tablet just to kind of see how it played. I won every time.
Really?
Basically, you play as a helicopter
mm-hmm.
who's chasing this person around the town. They have to hit checkpoints.
Yeah, yeah.
But you also have control over, like, the lights. So if you can predict what direction they're going,
you can change the lights and cause murder for them. That's pretty cool. Well, as I said, like, I'm probably pleasantly surprised, because I was expecting not to be fussed on it. But initial impressions of that, I could probably spend some time with this game. So, yeah not too bad at all. So that's pretty much for what we've played. I mean, there's been plenty of news this week coming out of GamesCon. I mean, another very good couple of weeks for PlayStation. Leads in the US sales again for like the 7th month in a row. It's past 10 million past units 10 million, yeah. sold,
yep. so
which is very impressive. That's actually
still on for the quickest video game console sale of all time.
Yeah, I think it is. To reach 10 million. So they're obviously doing very well. I mean, obviously Xbox haven't released in all the markets yet, but they're obviously lagging behind.
Yeah.
I thought Gamescom
was...
They're
doing okay, though.
Yeah, they're doing fine. I thought Gamescom was quite interesting because I think as a gamer, you look at it and Sony definitely won. Like, they announced a lot more games. Mm-hmm. They seem to put a lot more commitment into it.
They went on record as having said that there wasn't enough time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, I mean, there was that kind of vibe.
Tokyo Game Show, they're going to have a lot more.
They seem to kind of... stretching. They kind of had to rush through quite a few things because they had so many games. However, I think for your average Joe, when people say, oh, what did you hear about Gamescom? They're going to say one thing. Tomb Raider is an exclusive on Xbox One.
Yeah.
Like, that was still the big news.
Yeah.
So I think Sony definitely killed it. Like, Microsoft had quite a poor showing. However,
just kind of showing old demos again.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't very impressive. But I think if you're kind of going outside of, like, the gaming community, the biggest piece of news was still the Tomb Raider one, which I think is actually a pretty big deal.
It's quite significant.
Especially because it doesn't matter because I have both consoles, but I mean, I was a massive fan of the last Tomb Raider, so
I'll obviously get it for the 360.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Although saying that, it's not coming, I'm quite surprised that they're making a game for last generation consoles.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's coming out next holiday.
Yeah, it is a bit surprising, isn't it? You don't think by then you'll have a console?
It's possible. It's possible, but it won't be an Xbox One.
Even after the whole Titanfall thing? And...
Oh, it's not that. No, probably not.
See, after you mentioned Titanfall, I forgot to mention that in the last, in terms of what we played, I actually went back and played Titanfall.
Map pack, or?
I almost bought it. I just went back and had a few games instead, and it's still easily the best next-gen game I've played so far. And easily my favourite competitive shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it won't be everyone's, but there's something about it. Like, the whole combination of Titans and the fast-paced gameplay, I just think it's awesome.
Have you seen the footage for Project Cars yet?
I have not, no.
You I know you do like some racing games.
Mm-hmm.
This is by far and away the best-looking racing game I've ever seen.
Is it like an arcade-style one, or is it...
No, it's more of a simulator. Mm-hmm. It's more like Forza.
Yeah, see, I like Forza, but I never get into them the same way as, say, a Need for Speed.
The visuals alone
are
incredible.
Really?
Incredible.
See, at the moment, I'm really looking forward, because there's no Need for Speed this year, uh-huh. I'm really looking forward to The Crew.
Yeah.
The more I hear about them, I'm like, yeah, this is the game for me this year. I think if I'm going to buy any race, that and Forza Horizon 2.
Yeah, Forza Horizon 2 looks fun.
Loved Forza Horizon.
It looks fun.
Did you play Forza Horizon?
I've played little bits of it.
It's such a good game. Like, it's really
pretty. I just like the way they've set up the world. It reminds me a little bit, funnily enough, of Burnout Paradise. Even though the gameplay is totally different.
Yeah, yeah.
The way they set up the races, you know, you go to this location and then a race begins.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, I like the combination because I like the fact that they have the real cars and they look amazing. Uh-huh. Like, you know, I was playing Forza 5 recently and, you know, the cars do look spectacular. But I get a bit bored racing around tracks over and over again.
Yeah.
Whereas this, you still get the absolutely gorgeous Ferraris, but you're racing it around an open world, which I much prefer. I like just pissing about sometimes and then just jumping into races whenever I fancy it. And, you know, you can be a bit more imaginative with open world races. They're often prettier in their own way. Like, because obviously, you know, these tracks are created immaculately on games like Gran Turismo. Mm-hmm. But you're still racing around a track all the time. Whereas, you know, something like Forza Horizon, you've got like the Colorado Rockies, they're just better looking, you know? So, I'm really looking forward to that. And I'll check out the Project Cars thing as well, for sure.
Yeah, Project Cars is great.
Out of all the news actually coming out of GamesCon, easily the most exciting news was the new Silent Hill.
Yes.
Being created by Kojima and
Guillermo del Toro.
That is amazing. For me, that's like
a perfect pairing.
Yeah, because I love Silent Hill. And even the more recent ones, which I know weren't as good, I still really enjoy
them. It's a crazy sandwich is what it is.
It is a crazy
sandwich. Kojima's mental, Guillermo del Toro's mental, but in a much more constructive way.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got the guy from...
It's got Norman Reedus.
Yeah, yeah. From Walking Dead.
Daryl in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so excited for that. Because,
It looks fucking creepy as well.
Oh yeah, well, Silent Hill's always been like historically one of my favourite gaming series. You know, I always preferred that to Resident Evil when I was younger, because it's a scary game.
Sometimes, like, at least in the last, like, basically through the PS2 era after Silent Hill 2, it's become, and I hate to use the term, but formulaic. Silent Hill has become a little bit predictable.
I liked Silent Hill 4. I quite like The Room. Mm-hmm. I know it wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but I quite enjoyed it. And I quite enjoyed the latest one, which I forget. Downpour, was it?
Not Homecoming, because Homecoming was the really shit one.
Homecoming was kind of okay-ish, is probably the nicest thing I could say about it. And that's only because I'm a Silent Hill fan.
Yeah.
But, I thought the last one was pretty good. But, I in terms of, like, a horror game, it actually feels like a horror game.
Yeah.
But it still has that big budget feel kind of thing, you know? Yeah. So, I absolutely love Silent Hill, and I am super excited
about it. What I'm really excited about is, if you think back to to Metal Gear Solid on the PS1,
mm-hmm.
and you think of the ways that Kojima likes to fuck with people...
Oh, yeah,
in
totally.
..in a horror game setting...
Yeah, yeah.
It could be, like, Eternal Darkness and Metal Gear Solid... meet Silent Hill.
Well, that's what I hope. That, you know, it's still... I think it's imperative that you still have the foggy town of Silent Hill. I want the fog. I want it, you know, I want it to feel like a Silent Hill game. But you need a little bit of imagination to bring something new to it. To really... Yeah. So you're not just going through the motions. You're like, oh, yeah, this looks like Silent Hill. Because, you know, it's not going to be scary in the same way, because we've done it all so many times. You need someone who will keep that, you know, the initial... those kind of core aspects of Silent Hill, but then bring something completely new to it. And if these two can't, I don't know fucking who
exactly.
can.
Exactly. Like, if Guillermo del Toro is focusing mostly on the story,
yeah,
and Kojima focuses on
the game
mechanics,
yeah,
and how they merge, how they kind of mesh.
Well, you know he's going to want to be involved in the storyline as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kojima won't want to be involved.
That's fine.
But I see what you mean.
But that'll probably, like, if they're paying for Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to probably have to tell Kojima to be like, whoa, just chill out.
He'll be very involved, you'd think, in the art design as well. Yeah. Especially the monsters, obviously, which he's famous for. But yeah, that was certainly the most exciting news coming out of Gamescom, without question. The other one, actually, horror film, was the return of Until Dawn, which looks quite interesting now. It looks darker than it was originally, because it was announced like 2 years ago, then it disappeared. But now it's come back as a kind of, like... a more realistic, like, flat-out horror, like a teen horror, but a proper horror game. So, you know, the idea of, like, a teen slasher movie, but in video game form, I mean, I don't know enough about it yet, but I'm intrigued by the concept.
It's not really my genre, but, I mean, if it's fun, I'll probably get around to playing it.
Yeah, I think that could be interesting. Tearaway on PS4, I don't think anyone saw that coming.
or cared.
I don't know, it was one of those games on the Vita, I always thought it looked kind of interesting.
So much of it seemed to be... using the Vita's functionality, like
that was a big part of it. I think they can use the touchpad a bit, but it's the kind of game like I might play. But it looked okay. But I thought one of the big stories, but I'm not sure how it's going to play to console games, is DayZ, or DayZ as we would call it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm kind of excited by that or not.
Part of me, like, I've heard so much about it, mm-hmm. part of me really wants to play it.
Yeah.
But a lot of what
it sounds built so on, hardcore, though.
Yeah, and it's kind of slow-paced.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I'm not sure if I like the idea of it more than I would actually enjoy playing it, if you know what I mean.
There's a lot of sense. Like, there's a lot of assholes out there in every gaming market, but console gamers, like, obnoxious little boys.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to work, but...
Like, there's, like... It's so easy to grief people in that game.
Yeah.
And that's what I can see happening.
Yeah, that might well it's be the case. Part of the game, but, though, I guess. Yeah. But, no, I mean, you know, again, though, you know, you got to look back at Gamescom and say, you know, PlayStation is making all the right noises again.
Yeah.
I still don't think there's a killer app, as it were, amongst those, if that's the right term to use. I guess Blood Rain would probably be the closest to that. Is that what it's called? Blood Rain. Blood Rain is a game, isn't it?
It is.
That was turned into a terrible movie, wasn't it, by Uwe Boll?
I think at least two of them have come out.
Yeah, that's
pretty
so
sure
bad.
Ron Perlman's in them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing Uwe Boll say what you want about him. He gets some odd names in these games. But I watched like 20 minutes of one. I was like, this is fucking bollocks, basically. Yeah. Although there was a pretty good Xbox Live Arcade game released a couple of years ago. Blood Rain, like a side scroll kind of action-heavy Metroidvania style.
It was the same guys that did the Aliens 3DS game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it was 2DS.
2DS, right.
Oh, just well, DS. DS, yeah. I guess. Yeah, sorry, DS. That Aliens game was awesome.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that. Don't know where I'm going with this. Yeah, so loads of games, good times. They're all coming out in August, October, September. Is this when the games are coming out?
September.
We're still waiting on games, but they'll be here soon.
Destiny drops in September.
Destiny drops in. Well, that's going to be a game I plan on playing quite a bit.
I'm sure Madden, all that shit will drop pretty soon.
Have you seen the new Madden advert, the American one?
Who is giving that Kevin Hart guy work?
I like Kevin Hart.
He's fucking awful.
Have you seen the stand-up? No. I like Kevin Hart.
He might be one of these ones where his stand-up's good, but...
I like him. I like him. I can see why people find him annoying, but I quite like Kevin Hart.
That ride-along thing, the fact that people went to see that, I found personally offensive.
That looks pretty bad, but there were loads of, like...
Ice Cube and some stand-up guy. It's like, what?
It kind of, like, you know, it was just an obvious, like, oh, he's the tough cop. He's a guy, like, you know, it makes sense. It was never going to be good.
It's like a shit Chris Tucker. And Chris Tucker was like a shit Chris Rock.
He's better than Chris Tucker, I think. His stand-up, like, I think is a lot better. He's not better than Chris Rock, but I quite like him. I can see why he's huge in America.
Right.
Because I remember watching stand-up and I was like, this guy's going to be big. Because I was saying to Bethan about it, like, I saw a few years ago and I was like, this guy's got something. Uh-huh. I thought, like, he's certainly a stand-up anyway, because that's all I can base it on. And he had that kind of broad appeal, but you could see that he was going to be, like, big. Like, he had that confidence on stage. And obviously, he is massive in America now. Like, he is a proper household name, Kevin Hart. And I think it's only a matter of time before he becomes the same over here. But beyond him, that man that is just plain old fucking strange.
Is Dave Franco famous for being James Franco's brother?
I think that's
exactly. Is that what's going on?
The fact that he looks so much like him.
He's kind of... I can only imagine him playing like a creepy stalker in like a slasher film.
Yeah.
That's all I can imagine him being.
I just find his face slightly annoying, and I think it's by association because I find James Franco slightly annoying.
James Franco, but that's because he's a parody of himself.
I think, he's trying to say...
He's being a pretentious arsehole.
Yeah, but I think he is also a pretentious arsehole. He's willing to play up for it. I can't make up my mind.
I still got to finish watching Planet of the Apes.
Good film.
First one.
But again, if there's one problem with that film, it's him.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, I don't blame him.
I didn't mind him in it. I
just thought he was miscast. Horribly miscast. But I think that's pretty much all we've got for this week. I mean, I've got kind of topics to talk about, but we're 53 minutes in, so there's no point in starting those now. We'll save those for next week.
Fantastic.
But if you have nothing else to add, sir...
I don't think so.
I will suggest that you go check out the website, because there's loads of stuff going on, loads of people posting, loads of news and articles and all that bollocks.
It's been very busy.
So facebook.co.uk, check that out. We're on Facebook... No, did I just say Facebook? Sorry, yeah. brashgames.co.uk. On Facebook. That's not my website. Oh, yeah. Have you heard about this Facebook thing? It's pretty popular, you know?
Zuckerberg.
But, we're on Twitter, all that jazz. Check us out at Brashcast. Check out iTunes. We're on iTunes. Subscribe. Leave nice comments or unpleasant comments. Just leave something. But, hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back next week. Until then, GTFO.
Bye.